Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast brought to you by Albion fans at the Birmingham Mail. I am Graham Brown, it's just me this week and we are going to be reflecting on the end of an era at the Albion with Gary Megson departing the club after his second stint at the club. Obviously, we could have gone on at length today about Alan Pardew and looking forward and so on. We've done that a bit with the last podcast where we analysed Alan Pardew's career to date, and there's going to be loads of that around. That's not really what Woodman Corner's about. We wanted to take today to mark something that's really, really important to fans. Gary Megson is a Albion legend. He changed the direction of the club, and it would appear that this might be his final day with us, so we really wanted to mark it with something special. So what we've got coming up for you? Well, we've got three things principally. I'm really, really chuffed that we've got it. We start off with, you know, we are a storytelling podcast. This is where we come to tell, you know, daft stories and dressing room yarns and so on from the club. We start off with some audio that we took when Gary Megson joined on his second spell at the Albion, which is a story he told about Frank Burrows, the long-time assistant manager here, which is brilliant. And, you know, just shows the insight of the man, how fun he can be and that sort of thing. Could also be pretty intense, but certainly a jovial character. We'll go on then to talk to John Homer, who oversees one of the main branch supporters club, who's got a couple of great stories to tell about Gary. One brilliant one where he kind of dug him out of a hole when they seemed to be stuck in nowhere in Denmark, and he helped them get home. And we'll end with Gary Megson's final press conference at the Albion, in which he's asked about Sam Field's goal, which is a nice moment for him to end on, and also a bit about his time here. So it's going to be great. We'll start off now, though, with the man himself, speaking to Greg Evans a couple of months ago when he joined Albion.
Gary, you laid the foundations almost for this club and their Premiership run. The way when you came in 2000 and you kept them in the First Division and then progressed.
Yeah.
Just give us your thoughts on that time.
I did my interview. There was more board members than players. They were all around this thing. We met up at a hotel just off the M1, and they asked me, "What did you know about West Brom?" was one of the questions. And me being me, I just told them what I thought, and I says, "I know all about your past, Bobby Hope, Jeff Bomber, all those people, and I know you're always falling out with each other all the time. They kept changing over the board all the time." Says so, and one of them got rubbed up the wrong way, but the chairman at times says, well, he's honest and he's right, so anyway, it must have gone okay. But you just, there was, at some point I'm going to ask the club if they'll let me write this book that I'd like to do, because it's not a nasty thing, but it's, I think it'd be quite entertaining for the people around here. But one of the things that happened, I brought Frank Burrows in here, and we were training, and we had half a rugby pitch to train on at the time, not this. And I didn't want to upset any of the players, so I brought them all in, and we all played against a game against each other, but it was something like a 12-a-side. It was stupid, like you're playing the school. But I wanted to keep everybody together, so Frank was on the side. So we played for about half an hour. So I went jogging over afterwards. I says, what do you think? He says, we've got three players. Christ. I said, three? He went, yep. You, Cyril, and Lee Hughes. And he weren't far off. But it just needed a complete sea change. It was, you know, there's a lot of players here using it as a rest home. It was a great place to be, a good club, poodle about. Never get anywhere, just finish above relegation, and in a bad year you might go down. That time, that game that I was talking about, the young players that we had, as soon as the whistle went to finish, they were gone. Nobody stayed behind, nobody practiced, nobody brought the balls in or the bibs. And it was just like a bit of a jolly up club. And it just needed a complete change of attitude. We brought players in like McInnes, like Appleton, like Fox, people like that. And then Tony Butler, you know, just honest players. We needed honest, good players. And we signed five of them after a game at Portsmouth because I thought we were going down. And I'm sure we would have gone down. We just needed to change for change's sake. And we brought in people who weren't fit. We brought in people who were in reserve teams. Tony Butler from Port Vale, which was below us, just to get that little bit of a boost. And, you know, fortunately we stayed up and then kicked on from there.
So thank you to Greg Evans and, of course, to Gary Megson for that. So I just wanted to say a bit about Megs and myself. So I'm a 36-year-old Army fan. I started supporting the club in 1987. My first ever game was Albion 6 Stoke 0. So it looked like it was all going to be plain sailing from there as a 5-year-old. But it kind of went a bit downhill from there, really. You know, from the late 80s until the end of the 2000s, I was a young Albion fan who just had nothing to get behind, really. You know, we were a pretty terrible club, you know, but rolling from manager to manager, you know, starting off with Talbot, you know, through the Buckley years onto Brian Little and so on. And realistically, I had no sense whatsoever that Albion were capable of being a club that would be, that would win games routinely, regardless of the division. Then in comes Gary Megson. I remember the time at the, where we were struggling, he managed to keep us up just at the end of the season. He saw that massive rampant progress the next year where we managed to get into the playoffs and were nudged out by Bolton. And then it happens. Then he gets a club, you know, with a budget, you know, no bigger than the teams in their relegation zone, up into the Premier League and, you know, struggling, you know, but competing at a whole different level. It was a fantastic achievement and one that has been maintained really for the decade that's passed. You know, he never managed to properly compete at Premier League level, but we compete at Premier League level because of the things he did. So, you know, from this 36-year-old West Bromwich Albion fan, I thank Gary Megson for rejuvenating my love for the club. But, you know, I'm just an Albion fan. Let's go over to a supreme Albion fan who's John Homer. I spoke to him earlier this week about Gary Megson. He's got some great stories to tell about him. Okay, so I'm on the line now with John Homer, who's the chairman of the main branch of the Albion Supporters Club. He's also on the Albion Assembly. So, John, thanks ever so much for joining us.
No problem.
Such a big moment for all Albion fans. We all have to admit that the time's going to come to an end soon, and Gary Megson's going to depart us. You've seen lots of Albion, lots of Megson and so on. Tell me your favourite story that you would associate with Gary Megson and his time at the club.
Oh, there are so many. I mean, the man goes down in Albion folklore, doesn't he? As the man who took us back into the top flight after so many years in the wilderness.
Absolutely.
And the season that we did it, of course, we picked the Wolves as well, which was a wonderful achievement. And there are so many memories of Gary Megson. When he came to the football club originally, we were in the khaki, basically, weren't we? And we were going nowhere other than down, I think. He comes along, we signed 6 players on deadline day, as it were, and we survive. And the following season, he gets us into the playoffs. And then the following season, he gets us up. And I firmly believe he's the catalyst for everything that has happened ever since. All the progress that we've made has been possible because he took us into the Premier League, where the financial rewards are so great.
Yeah, I think you're right. I was talking to Andy Johnson about it for this podcast the other day, and he was sort of saying how he'd been at Nottingham Forest and he'd been in a promoted team at Nottingham Forest, but it was never kind of the same. And I think I said to him was, Nottingham Forest weren't as terrible as we were before you got there, and they're not as good as we are now. It is a lasting impression he's made on the album. I'm talking about Megson now. You know, so that's the thing. He came into a club that had been terrible for 15 years, and he's left a club that, you know, has been a whole division better for 15 years. It's an incredible legacy, really, isn't it?
Well, that's right. Don't forget he got us up twice. I think he's the only man in our history to get us promotion twice.
Yeah.
You know, so that is a feat in itself. The important thing being that he built the basis on which we could move forward. God bless him, after that, the club always had a contingency plan. And whenever we went down, we were always good enough to come back up. And that's why we became this yo-yo club during the noughties, as it were. We went down and he brought us back up again. You know, which is a feat in itself.
Yeah. Out of interest, if you had to rank, I would say there's three really prevailing names in the Albion over this past sort of 15-year era, which I would say is Megson, Dan Ashworth and Jeremy Peace. Who do you think had the lasting...
guiding the ship. If you look at where we were when he became chairman, where we are now, we've got a super ground, we've got super training facilities, you know. Dan Ashworth was responsible for digging out some of the players that have helped us keep our place in the Premier League. I think notably, I mean, Malumba was a great find, wasn't he?
God, yeah.
You know what I mean? And Alden Wingy, God bless him, whatever happened at the end, he's still at the moment the record goal scorer for us in the Premier League, I think. And he was a fabulous player. And Gary Megson, you see, without Gary Megson, there would have been no Dan Ash.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
There may not have been a Jeremy Peace. Because yeah. Had things gone wrong, Jeremy might not have held on to the chairmanship and the whole history of the club would have changed. And that's what I firmly believe, that he was the catalyst for all this. Now, OK, he had his detractors. Some people who played for him ended up thinking, ooh, I don't like him. But, I mean, that's par for the course in football, isn't it? You know, everybody he picked thought he was brilliant and the best things in sauce bread. And some people he got rid of thought, ooh, I don't like him. But that's the way the game goes, you know.
Yeah. Have you personally had much to do with him?
Oh, yeah. At the time that he was manager there, we used to do a little video for Away Travel called Baggies Travel TV.
Yeah.
Right? You could only watch that if you travelled on the Away coaches. Many people fondly remember that. Not for me, I might add, but for Dave Holloway, my mate. And we used to do that. So I had lots of chats with him. There was one special time as well. We were on tour in Denmark. And we went down to this place at the end of the world on the train, from Copenhagen. And we got to get back to the station in this little place, I can't remember, Naisved or something it was called. And when we got there, we found that there was no transport back from the ground, which was about 3 miles away from the station, after 12 o'clock. So that meant that we were jiggered. And we just mentioned it in passing, and he said, "Don't worry, lads, I'll leave it with me." And the next thing he comes back and he says, "Right, he says, I've got you the team coach to take you back to the station after the game, as long as you don't do anything stupid." So he arranged that for us, God bless him. After the famous Battle of Bramall Lane, yeah, there were half a dozen of us who were in a quiz at Manchester, yeah?
Yeah.
And after the match at Bramall Lane, we got to go back over the Pennines to record this quiz on the Sunday, you see? And you know all about the Battle of Bramall Lane.
God, yeah.
I mean, that in itself is an historic day, and he was in charge on that day. So we came out the ground at the end and went round to the main reception. I don't know why we got it out at the minibus was picking us up there. And there he was in reception, and all these Sheffield United fans were outside calling for his head, you know, yes, so-and-so, because, you know, he was a Sheffield Wednesday man.
Yeah.
And he said, "Do us a favour." He said, "Escort me back to my car." So six of us escorted him back to his car in the car park through this baying mob. And got him back to his car and off he went.
That's brilliant.
And then I did a night for him for the hospitality people and did an hour or so with him in front of these people and reminded him of that, and he said, "Well, I was more in danger from you six than the Sheffield United fans." So,
clearly he's a bloke got on a personal, yeah, he's known as quite an intense bloke to manage it, but it sounds like on a personal level you got on with him pretty well.
Yeah, he was fine. He was great, but he was so focused. He was so focused, and you meet some people who are fairly laid back. Old Ozzy Ardiles was fairly laid back, wasn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Gary was so focused, and I suppose if you look at it from the outside looking in, when you are doing a job and you're standing for by what you do, you know, and at the end of the day, as we've seen recently, a manager carries the can, right? He's so focused. And like it or not, when a player had outlived his usefulness to him, that was it.
Yeah.
Whoever he was, whatever he'd done, he had to say, "I'm sorry, but I've got to get somebody else in and I've got to do this." And he was so focused. And I think that was one of the things that I remember dealing with him, that he was like. So absolutely 100% focused on his task ahead. And nothing but nothing could get in the way.
So considering we've agreed so much about this, about the kind of lasting impact he's had on the club, what do you think about, should there be some lasting memorial to Megson at the Albion? You know, maybe not as grand as a name in a stand, maybe not as grand as a statue, but there should be a Gary Megson something at the Albion, shouldn't there?
Good call. But there are mementos and tributes to him around the ground in terms of the memorabilia. He's certainly not forgotten in terms of his achievement.
Yeah.
The two shields we won for the runners-up and in the championship twice, there in the ground, nicely framed with the photographing and everything, you know.
Well, Gary makes him stand. It would have to move around and shout a lot, you see. So sometimes it wouldn't be.
Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't sit comfortably in that stand, would you?
You wouldn't sit comfortably. Don't get me wrong. I mean, as I say, his achievement is brilliant and he's part and parcel of where we are now, definitely. And as I said, the only bloke in our history to win two promotions with the football club, and at a vital and essential time that it was necessary, because we've been in the wilderness for too long. Not like the old days, it didn't matter too much other than you were in a different division. But now, of course, the financial rewards of being in the Premier League, love it or loathe it, are so great that you have to be there. You have to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he dragged us up by the shoelaces and got us in that division. So many other little stories, you know, that Andy Johnson's probably told you a couple anyway.
Yes.
If you spoke to Andy Johnson about Gary Megson, he'll tell you he'll tell you some.
He had plenty to say, yeah. Just finally, I wanted to ask, as a fan, I mean, obviously there was Megson left under a bit of a cloud, as managers tend to do. You were at Spurs the other day. Have you found the opportunity to sort of have a final goodbye?
Well, I think this happens in football, doesn't it? You know, before you know where you are, there's players who've been absolute superheroes to you, and suddenly overnight they've gone. You've never had the chance to say cheerio. I mean, he did get the accolades on Saturday, didn't he? There's only one Gary Megson, and Megson give us a wave. And we did a splendid job on Saturday. Whatever he's done during the week in training has lifted the side, because you saw a different attitude and also a different setup. I think the masterstroke that he played was playing Sam Field, who's young and eager and will give you 100% because he wants to get in the team. Lad he put in at Tottenham, at Wembley, 60,000-odd. You think, what a daunting thing that is for a bloke. No doubt Gary had a word with him before and then said, you know, just go out, play your game and run for us. So Saturday he did very well. I was just thinking in my statistical head, you know, who was the last bloke that had his last game in charge at Wembley for the Army?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
So it may not be his last game though, had it? I'm hearing that he's probably going to be in charge for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Which is how the ordeal is, by the way.
Yes, of course, yeah.
So, and I mean, that was a season, wasn't it? That was a great season as well.
Yeah, they didn't give me too many good memories of the album when I was young, but that was one of the good ones.
The people, you know, as you say, did he have the chance to say goodbye at the time that happened? That happens though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and Tony Pulis, God bless him. I was always Paul Pulis, as people know. That's why I get called names sometimes. You know, but his achievement has to be up there as well, if people think about it.
I think you're right.
He was brought to do a job.
Yeah.
When he came, we were in trouble.
I'd agree. I think
in the three places that we'd under his tutelage was wonderful.
I think Albion have made three really astute managerial appointments in my lifetime: Megson, Hodgson, and Pulis. And Pulis probably ended less happily with the fans than the rest of them. But fundamentally, without him, it's a different story now, I would say.
Well, that's right. Definitely, I think so. If people look at what Hodgson did, we were in trouble when he came.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same as Tony Pulis, basically. Sorted us out, got us organised, made sure we didn't lose, so that we got the platform to build from. And that's what happened. You know, I mean, we could talk all day about Tony Pulis. Gary Megson, the sad thing about Mego is after everything he achieved, we go down to Crystal Palace one day and tipping it down the rain and everybody's soaked. There's a big dispute about the new away strip. There's a big hoo-ha about Inamoto. We lose 3-0 and he's gone.
Yeah.
After all is achieved, but that ain't, you know, that's par for the course in the game, isn't it?
And now we'll always have Wembley. You know, it's turned out nice in the end, really.
And we scored, and we day lose at the new Wembley.
No.
And Rondon is the first Venezuelan to score at Wembley, and the first Albion man to score at the new Wembley.
The
2000th home league game or something.
It won a bad old day. John, that's brilliant. Thank you for joining us on Woodman Corner. We've really really enjoyed your time.
No problem. I also heard a podcast with somebody with fishing, but obviously I'm a technophobe, you see, so
Okay, so now we're just going to run you some audio of what will be the last press conference that Gary Megson ever gives as Albion manager, barring him coming back again, I should say, but certainly of this phase. And we'll kick off, we've edited it out the first, but we'll kick off where he's asked about Sam Field, who obviously marked Megson's last game as manager in this spell with his first ever goal, which is a moment I think will live long in the memory for a lot of Albion fans. It's great to see a young fan realising his dream in front of us all.
Sam Field's performance and goal must fill you with a lot of confidence and surprise.
Me or him? Sorry.
It must be a positive on.
Oh, it is a positive, but his performance and just having him around the place is a positive. That will do him. Like, you know, scoring a goal is great for any player. Scoring when it's the team you've supported as a youngster, and it's at home. And you know, and it's at this level, you could see what it meant to him, and indeed could see what it meant to everybody else. We didn't switch on from that point onwards, because they as I say, they just got more direct, slung it in there, and we didn't handle it, and it should have been easier for us to handle what had come before that.
Apart from the result, Gary, did you enjoy being back today in the proper?
I've enjoyed it since I've been here. You know, with Tony, you know, being alongside Tony, but you know, that's what I've done all my life in terms of management and job. You know, so it was nothing was new.
Like the crowd, more
they were great. Yeah, the crowd were great, but they had something to hang out on at 2-0, and it's like such a disappointment that's not happened. But in terms of the crowd, myself, the team, it was a good 70 minutes and a really poor 20 minutes.
Do you hope that people look at this week that you've had in charge of football and appreciate what you've done in that short time, sort of, as a manager, and sort of value as a number one again?
It shouldn't be on, you know, the last 8 days and two that are only I've had two promotions to the Premier League.
Remind people of it.
But they shouldn't need reminding. They should know, because, like, you know, people are talking now about the stuff that's going down at the wrong end of the table. I kept Bolton up 4 points out of 10 games, which is way worse than anybody that's got it now. Took Bolton further than they've ever been in Europe. I could go on. I've never been one to blow my own trumpet, but maybe I should have started. But, like, no, I don't know, they should know. You know, I can sort football clubs out that are on the backside. I've done that. So, you know, if anybody's interested in those kind of things, fine. Thanks for asking.
Where does your future with Albion lie? Is there a meeting tomorrow?
I'll tell you, and then there's no point going asking me anything else, because I can't tell you. The players are off tomorrow. They've not been off for 8 days. I don't think we'd get a tune out of it anyway, because they're so flat. Me myself, I'm in at 10 o'clock to see the chairman. I'm not aware of what it's about, but I'll turn up to that meeting. I can't tell you anything more, because I don't know anything more.
If it is to be another manager, would you continue as a number two at all, or is that it?
I just said that I can't tell you anymore. Like, you know, that in the last 8 days is what I do. I've been a manager. I've never been an assistant manager before. I was alongside Tony. It took a while to work out, you know, what I'm supposed to do, what he wanted me to do. So it was probably the most difficult role I've had, because I wasn't managing. So, you know, that is easier for me, because I know, hopefully know what to do there. I'm trying to hang on to a bleeding 2-0 lead if I'm on.
So that was that. It's goodbye to Gary from now, from us Albion fans, and here at Woodman Corner. It's been really, really nice, you know, to be able to reflect on a Albion manager who's probably done more for the club across the course of my life than anyone else that you could name. So I've enjoyed that. Thank you to Gary Megson for speaking to us previously, to Greg Evans and to John Homer for their help with this. And just as always, you know, this is an Albion podcast for fans, so please get in touch with your memories of Megson in general. You can get us at Woodman Podcast on Twitter, or you can find me on Twitter, Graham_Brown. And just generally, we want to hear your stories about the Albion. We want to hear what you think. You want to hear your funny tales. Let's get you all on the podcast, and also let me know if you think it's any good, or if you think it's rubbish, or how you think it should change. That's how this works, really. So thank you again for joining us at Woodman Corner, and onwards and upwards to the next one.